Yo.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, my bad. I left my headphones in the car. I had to go find them real quick.
No, you're good. You're good. I guess I'll do the introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Bigger Jones. That's right. And we are the Troublemakers.
Yeah.
And tonight, we're going to go back to our original roots and go to do music.
So, you want to talk a little bit about some music? When you hit me up about the show and the premise of it, I was like, you know, that's a little bit different than norm. And yeah,
right.
I like the concept. I think it's going to be pretty.
You want to introduce? You want to introduce the premise?
Yeah, so we're going back to, like Dick said, to our roots. So essentially, Dick had the idea of, you know, we're just going to go back and revisit a couple of albums that have crossed our paths at some point within our lives.
Right.
But we're going to do it in the manner of, you know, we'll name the album and then it's typically going to be like a moment or a story that correlates with that album that we're going to revisit. So Digger has a list of albums. I have a list of albums. And then we're just going to talk about them.
Okay, so do you want me to go first or you want to go first?
Let me go first.
All right.
So once again, coming up with this concept, I wanted to think of like some albums that, like, if I tell you, what does this album mean to you? That, you know, it's stories that we possibly have not already shared on the show.
Right.
But then, so something unique. So I wanted you to think a little bit when I thought about the list that I put together. So the first album that I had on the list was When the Smoke Clears.
When the Smoke Clears, 66-61.
Yeah, so for those who don't know what album we're talking about, 3-6 Mafia,
When their the fourth Smoke Clears. Yeah, their fourth studio album.
Yes.
So, my story, well, first things first, When the Smoke Clears, when that came out, I got it the week it came out because, you know, we frequent a record store called Catch Music a lot. And
right.
There are certain times where we can get albums early and certain times where, you know, the store owner would make us wait. I actually got this album 2 weeks before it came out, actually. So I got the album 2 weeks before it came out. And my favorite song on the album is Memphis, Making Easy Money, Pimpin' Hoes is Serious. But I do have a story about this. And I think you remember this, Red. It was me, you, and Cortez. We went. And I got the album, right? So we, instead of, you know, getting in the car going to Walmart, we walked to Walmart because it was in the plaza. Catch Music was at the end of the plaza and Walmart was at the other end. So I remember we went to the car audio department to test the CD out. For those who don't remember what the car audio department is, it's a bunch of it used to be a bunch of stereo decks lined up on a wall, like car stereo decks lined up on a wall. And you can press the button and see how it worked, see how it functioned and everything. But the car audio was hooked up to the speakers, you know, the subwoofers and everything. And I remember when Sippin' on Syrup came on, at the beginning, Juicy J and Bun B going the expletive of like, oh, y'all weak-ass nigga, pussy-ass nigga. I was like, oh, shit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We turned it down. And then when they, you know, started with Sippin' on Some Syrup, listen, we had the whole back of Walmart quaking.
Yes, I do remember that. And then I also remember, for anybody who remembers how Walmart was set up back in the day, I also remember at some point we got told to move or not, like we got told to stop playing the CD or whatever over there. And then we end up in the home, in the electronic section. So if anybody remembers Walmart back in the day, The electronic section was way smaller
Yes.
than what it is now. And it was just like it was almost like a box in the middle of the store. And then they had like one aisle dedicated to video games, with the video games on the end cap that you can play. And then like 2 aisles down, they had like the boom boxes. And then we went and we played it in the boom boxes too. And I think that they came after us, and it was like, listen, I don't know if we got kicked out or if we were
No, we
asked
didn't
to
get
leave.
kicked. No, we didn't get kicked out. It was a situation where they were just like, "Look, man, y'all gotta stop."
Yeah. But
But
that was
we're
I do remember. So shout out to 3 6 Mafia. That was actually a really good album too.
great album. So the first album I actually have for you is The Dynasty.
The Dynasty, always
Please.
bring it back to, shout out to Cortez, because I always bring back the Club Cortez for the Dynasty, for multiple reasons, because I just remember the song Parking Lot Pimpin', and from the Dynasty. Well, I got a lot of memory for the Dynasty, but the Parking Lot Pimpin' one kind of sticks out, because I can just remember we was listening to it, I think on the way to this little teen club or whatever we was going to,
Yeah.
and we had met these chicks outside. We had met these chicks outside this little spot, and we was pretty much out there parking lot pimping
And
and
it's
trying to
and
hop.
it, but you know what's so funny about that? Because that's the story I remember from the album also. But it was so
Yeah.
funny because like the way Red is so, what's the word I'm looking for? Debonair, like so, calm and suave, right? Like Red was just like, he would do hand signals, right? So like he had the music playing and like Cortez was in the car. So he did this little hand signal for Cortez to roll down the window so we could hear the music better. And it's just like
Yeah.
he didn't skip a beat in the conversation.
And I think this was also one of the nights where, didn't we also get pulled over this night?
No, that's
Was
not the night
this,
we got pulled over. This is the
no,
night
th
that
th
we
well, not that night, but I'm talking about, was this one of the nights where we got pulled over because we drove behind the store on accident? And
No,
there's,
that's not
I don't
that.
know.
That's not the
Okay.
same night because Rico Rivera was with us that night. But this night, when we were headed to Club Cortez, the whole way there, we got nothing but green lights.
Oh yeah.
So like, we left the house, and when you get to the end of Sangre Parkway, there was a green light, and so on and so on, and we had green lights the whole night. So like, yeah.
I do. I'm trying to remember. God, I thought there was somebody else with us.
It was just me, you, and Cortez.
Okay. Shout out to Cortez. Wherever you at, man. Shout out to him.
I saw him a few weeks ago. He's good.
All right, what's up? You know, I don't get down there enough to really check on y'all.
Right.
So,
I think the last time you saw Cortez was the night of the Bun concert.
I actually it was.
There we go.
Okay. So this next one's for like I said, I tried to do some different obscure albums. I didn't really want to dive into the No Limit, but I actually got two No Limit albums on this list. Tell me about Ghetto D, Paul.
Ghetto D. So, the first night I've ever heard anything off this album, remember there used to be a show on, what was it called? Not WB, UPN, like a local music video thing, right?
I vaguely remember.
Like, let's just call it Video Box right now. And I
I
remember.
think I know what you're talking about, but
Yeah, remember the
go
time
ahead.
they had the interview with DMX and DMX, a kid walked up to him and was like looking in this cup. He goes, no, Jordy, you don't want what's in this cup.
I remember you talking about.
But oh God, let's just call it Video Music Box. So they had the video for the title track, which was a promo single. And I remember watching the video and AJ Johnson, he was like Frankenstein making these Master P characters, like the members of TRU who did the song. And I remember watching, like, wow, this is a really odd video. So the next day, we went to Robert Pratt's house because we used to go to, you know, shout out to Robert Pratt. We used to go to his house a lot and play basketball. And I remember hearing Makeham say, for the first time. And, like, this is before it became a radio single. And I remember we were in his house, and I was just like, yo, play that number 12 again. And we just kept on, and he just got to the point where he goes, yo, do you want to borrow the CD? I'm like, yes. So that was one of my first real introductions into the Ghetto D album. That's one of my favorite stories, is because that's how I got into it.
I have a story for Ghetto D. My story is a little different. So one thing I remember was we used to play like rec league basketball, and I don't know where you and everybody else were, who was on the team, but I remember for some reason I end up walking to the game by myself, to the gym by myself. And right. I remember on the walk I had your Walkman, the little Discman. Yeah. And the only CD that was in there was Ghetto D. And
sounds about right.
Yeah, Ghetto D was in there, and I think that was like either the first game that we won that season, or it was like one of the games where I had like the best game of the season. Because it was a pretty long walk. I listened to Ghetto D first, and I scanned most of the album, and I listened to Makeham say but then Bourbons and Lax came on.
Yeah.
And I think that was the first time I ever heard the song Bourbons and Lax. And I was like, man, this shit hit. So I played it on repeat, and I must have listened to that song on repeat like 3 or 4 times before I got to the damn gym.
Listen, Bourbons and Lax, to this day, in my opinion, is still the best album closer of all time.
Yes, Bourbons and Lax is fucking amazing. And I also remember when we went to go see I Got the Hookup. We went to go see I Got the Hookup at the Dollar Theater.
Yeah.
Back in the day, shout out to the Dollar Theater. At the Dollar Movie Theater. After the movie, they had the group of people outside or around the... it must have been like 20 some odd people who went to go see the movie.
Right.
They was chilling outside at their car, because we was obviously waiting on our ride home.
Right.
And they was chilling at the car and outside at the theater, and one of them had a system in the trunk, and they had the trunk open. They were bumping Bourbons and Lax.
Yeah. So the next album that, you know, I have on the list is an album that's very near and dear to my heart. Part 3 by 112.
Part 3 by 112. Peaches and Cream. So Part 3 by 112 is actually one of my favorite R&B albums of all time. Like I put it up there in the list of one. Is it the best R&B album of all time? Probably not. But the one story that I remember from that is the Peaches and Cream. I forgot how this came about, but it was at the end of the school year, roughly around the time, like after everybody graduated or something, there was this party at this club called The Plex, but it was like multiple schools. At this club. And I just remember, the night was kind of hit or miss. It was kind of all right. But I just remember at the, towards the end of the night, the song Peaches and Cream came on, and like everybody, like from, well, that was hanging with us from our school, like just like took over the dance floor, started doing all the dances and shit for the music video. And I just remember, one of the dudes, was in the center of the fucking circle, one of our homies back in the day named Corey, and he did the little thing where he knocks on the head and then the knees go down and then he comes right back up.
Lift his head back up.
Yeah, like the fucking almost like the damn God, You remember the intro of Tyrone Biggums?
Yeah.
When he did that dance?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember that shit remind me of that. And he did that shit, but I remember after that, like everybody started flocking to us because they saw that we were like fucking enjoying ourselves. All the other schools, I don't know what the fuck they were doing.
Right. So my part three story is I came home from Job Corps. Now, mind you, Job Corps was almost like jail because you didn't know what was going on in the outside world, really. You really didn't hear anything from it. This is before the age of technology. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have, you know, the laptops and everything. And I remember, you know, Red and Adam in the car, and they were like doing these things, and Red kept on just saying, "My drop top's in the parking lot." And I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And he goes, and Adam goes, "Yo, when we get home, you got to listen to this album." And we listened to like the first four songs. I'm like, "I'm done. I got to buy my own copy." Because like the album started out strong. It started out with Dance With Me, then went to It's Over Now, then Peaches and Cream. And like,
it's a great album.
So like, that's my favorite story, is coming home and like them putting me on to this album.
Amazing album. Shout out to Adam.
So what you got next?
Oh, man, I got a couple of good ones that I got stories for. But let me see what you got when it comes to I'll go ahead and get this one out the way because I'm very intrigued to hear what your story is for this one. But this is an obscure one, but Colors by Fonzworth Bentley.
Okay, Colors by Fonzworth Bentley. I actually was waiting to do this. So for those who don't know, I am a fan of, you know, the eclectic hip-hop, the Tribe Called Quest, the De La Souls, so on and so on, right? And I remember Red picking me up from work one day, and he was playing this track, Colors, Cool, Outrageous, Lovers of Uniquely Raw Styles. And yes. I remember, like, hearing Fonzworth's burst, and I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? But this is so fucking intriguing. So the next verse was, you know, Pimp C. And what did he say? He says, "That's the gator trying to test the chinchilla, trying to run from the ostrich." I'm like, because he's talking about his closet. He said, "So many animals in my closet. That's just the gator trying to test the chinchilla, trying to run from the ostrich." I was like, this is the dopest fashion line I have ever heard. And then after that, he played the song Runaway. And Runaway has been my theme song for like the last 15 years.
Yeah, I found out about the album because I downloaded, well, first and foremost, at the time, if anybody knew who Fonzworth Bentley, at the time, Fonzworth Bentley was, he was still looked at as Diddy's chauffeur. And I just remember saying, "Yo, this nigga raps." And then so I found the song Colors. And then I was like, "Yo, this shit was," because the song was just so smooth. And then I didn't really know about the mixtape until Digga downloaded it. It was like, "Yeah, he got a whole album based off of this." And I was like, "What?"
But the funny thing about it is a lot of people don't know Pimp C produced that song.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Pimp C produced that song because it was going to be on Pimp C's solo album, but it didn't fit. So, but
yeah, shout out.
For those who have not heard the album Colors by Fonzworth Bentley, it's a shame that Dat Piff closed because Dat Piff had the whole album.
All the songs. Apple Music does not.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can get a partial version of that album on Apple Music. But what's your story about this album?
My story was, I remember the year that it came out, I'm back when we used to burn CDs. I burned two CDs. And it was my birthday, and I actually still have these burnt CDs like in my I'm sitting there looking at my bucket full of CDs right here. And one was the CD was named Mark's Birthday, and I think it was, I forgot what year it was, but whatever. And I remember there was a R&B CD, and then there was a hip hop version. But both of them had like a Farnsworth Bentley song from that album. And I just remember heading down Dorchester Road, I think it was, or maybe Asti Fawfee, whatever road that gets you to where Walmart and the mall is. I think it was Asti Fawfee.
Right.
And a car full of, I think it was me. I think you were there, Digga. I think it might have been Mikey and somebody else. I forgot who else. And I just remember driving down the road, and then one of those songs came on. And I just remember, like, just vibing to it. I forgot what song it was. I think it was track number four.
Take It Back.
Yeah.
The one that has an open verse.
Yes, that one.
Yeah, Take It Back.
And I also remember that night driving down, because we went out that night, and I remember driving downtown that night freestyling. I must have been drunk as shit. But we was, but I was freestyling to the in the open verse spot.
But before we get off this album, the reason why the song Runaway has one of my favorite lines that I live by is because the way he delivered it. He says, if you want to handle your issue that your girl left, you could take it with me. And ever since I heard that, I was like, that's my line. So the next album I got for you, It's Dark and Hell Is Hot by DMX.
This is definitely freshman year of high school album for me. Got so many. This one right here hits. All I remember with this album is every single afternoon, I would come home from school, throw on the Nintendo 64, and I would play these games in order. I would play Cruising USA, and then Kobe Bryant's Courtside. And then maybe some Zelda, but every single time I will run this album, because I used to play this album front to back.
Yes.
I remember one of the first nights that I listened to this album. I went to like some kind of like school spirit bullshit. I don't know. It was like one of the first events or some shit that I went to at school. I don't fucking remember, but I remember finding out about this album during that night. And then I remember there was like somebody handed me the sledgehammer, and it was like, "Ah, you gotta beat up the car or whatever the fuck."
And
it did. It did. That picture did make the yearbook. But I remember for some reason I had the DMX song in my head. I had the DMX song in my head when I was trying to hit the car. I don't remember what I had in my head, but I hit the car, and I remember I didn't do shit.
Hold on, you got to repeat that because you sound like a transformer.
I'm sorry. I hit the car with my camera and didn't do shit to the car.
You know what's funny about them giving you a sledgehammer to beat up a car? They ain't give you no kind of safety goggles, no glass, no gloves.
Hey, who the fuck car? Like, what the
that is a good question, too.
What the hell did you get the 1994 Accord? You're going to play fucking teenage fucking beat the hell.
Hold on, you sound like Optimus Prime again. What's that?
The fact that all the glass on the car was removed.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Hold on. Come back to it. Because you still sound like Optimus Prime, but it's getting worse. I can't hear you at all.
Am I good now?
Oh, you're good now, yes.
No. I just said I remember.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said I remember this kid, because it was dark outside, didn't realize that there was glass missing from the car. So he tried to take a swing where the windows typically are, and he damn near went flying inside the car.
That's fucking funny.
That shit was fucked up.
Now, my favorite story from As Dark and Hell Is Hot was me, Red, and Adam used to be assholes. So we used to go through like the phone directory and call people. And when people would be like, hello? We would sit there and press play on the album and be like, it's Mickey. Somebody be like, excuse me? It's me, Mickey.
Yeah, we used to be on our crank yanker shit.
We were crank yankers before crank yankers.
I do remember that shit.
Another thing about As Dark and Hell Is Hot that I remember is it came out the year I started working. So it came out May 98, right? And yeah. I remember, you know, I used to sit outside at work when people used to pull up because I worked second shift at Waffle House. And everybody from the rednecks to the thugs to just the preppy people was bumping this album. Like, DMX was universally that dude.
Yeah.
So, shout out to that.
Another thing about this album, I just remember that this was around the time that I started doing things like, I mean, obviously when you hit high school, this is where I started doing things without my parents.
Right.
Like, and for some reason, I always had like my, and it was a tape. Yes, it was a tape. I had a DMX tape.
I bought you.
You did?
Yeah.
Do you remember what other tape you bought me at the same time?
I bought three tapes that day. I remember I bought DMX, Skullduggery, and I can't remember the third.
When you bought me DMX, you bought me three separate tapes. And I think it was within the span of like a week or maybe within a span of a month.
Okay, Life in 1472.
That was one of them.
DMX.
And
what was the third?
Jay-Z Volume 2.
No, I never bought you Jay-Z Volume 2. I bought it for myself, and I just never listened to it.
I had Jay-Z Volume 2.
You got that from Lisa for Christmas.
I don't know. I bought it.
No, I bought the CD, but I never listened to it. You listened to it way more than I did.
All right.
But yeah, she bought you the tape. So the next album, I just did It's Dark and Hell Is Hot. It's your turn.
All right. Now we're going to get into the sentimental shit. All right. You know what? Before we get there, Nori, N-O-R-E.
Nori by Noriega. My favorite story about Nori by Noriega is we used to go from neighborhood to neighborhood playing basketball, right? And I remember having this boombox in the Noriega album. So I remember one time we went outside Lawrence's house and I had my boombox. And we were playing, it was me, you, and Adam, I do believe, against Lawrence, Darryl, and Maya.
Yeah.
And I remember we were down like by like five. And then the song Super Thug came on. Every alley was hitting, and just like we ended up winning the game by like two. It looked like one of those music videos where everything's like going in slow motion. You pass the ball to Red hits the three. Like, but yeah, I got so many more stories to this album, like closing shifts at Fazoli's where me and Mike Wigfall would play this all the time.
Yeah. I remember the one time we went downtown, it was me, you, First, Zoe, and what was the foreign basketball chick's name?
I know who you're talking about. I just can't remember. She's the one that talked about Rose Zerbiak.
Yes.
Talia.
Talia. I think her name was Talia. But she was the one Hornet Thane chick that they played basketball. That played basketball at college.
She talked like Wally Zerbiak.
Or Charles Southern. Yeah. I remember. I think it was the same night. We all went to skate at the Ice Palace, and then we went downtown. And I just remember we were playing that CD. And the one night that I the thing I remember, we was all in that Mazda 626. That green Mazda 626. And I was like, and they packed all of us in there. And I was like, man, this is a tight-ass ride. Like, because Zoe was like 6'4", 6'5". You're tall as shit.
Zoe's about 6'4". I'm 6'6". Adam's 6'2". You're 6'2".
Nah, I'm about 6 even. I'll call myself about 6 even. But I just remember, and then Talia, she was tall as shit, too.
About 5'11"-ish.
Yeah. She was tall as shit, too. I just remember we was all packed up in a 6'2", 6", and we was looking for parking, and we was blasting that CD. And I just remember that was like we had the windows down, and we was just rolling slow. You know, what was that song? Iraq Island.
Oh, yeah. Iraq.
Chilling. Yeah. So we was listening to that shit. And then, we had the music loud as fuck. And then we just disrupting the peace. Like, everybody was just staring at us. We didn't give a fuck. It was Nori. You know, the dope-ass album. Because right before that, we was driving, when we was driving downtown, we played Band from TV, which is an amazing fucking song.
Oh shit! Remember the time we were going to Cortez's house, and you were playing Fiesta, and every time we would go boom, boom, you would hit.
The brakes. When the bass hit, I would break check.
Yeah.
And then we would dance. We did that shit downtown too that same night.
Word, that was a great album.
That was a great night, from what I remember.
I'm listening to that shit after this. But word, so my next album is an album that I know is one of your favorite albums of all time. And that's Because of You by Ne-Yo.
Here's where we get to the sentimental shit. So Because of You is, I declare me personally, Because of You as one of the most complete and best R&B albums of all time. That's just my personal opinion.
You don't
but
say.
But that album, it will always, every single track on that album will always resonate, just because I'm a huge Ne-Yo fan. But that always resonates with, like, a particular ex. And I just remember, like each stage of that album and each stage of that song, like, I have a story about that particular ex. And it almost is like that album.
Like, was really autobiographical to your relationship?
Yeah, there was just like a lot of situations that occurred during that album with this particular ex. Like it was almost like each moment in our relationship, like those songs were made about that relationship. But the one thing I remember about that album is I went to a football game. Went to a football game in Colombia, and that album was on. That album was on from front to back, like the whole way there, the whole way back.
Complete rotation,
front to back. And I remember, I think one of our homies was with us, but I think that was the night that I went to. And this is a true story. We went to this football game. Me and my ex, we got into an argument. I don't know if you know the story, Digger, but me and my ex got into an argument.
I don't think I do.
We went to this football game, the USC football game. Me and my ex got into an argument at this game. I was like, well, fuck it. I'm drunk as shit. Like, I'm like pissed drunk as shit. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to go back to Charleston. I'm driving back, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. This person, and I'm gonna say his name. Y'all probably know him if y'all watch football, but I'm pretty sure to this day he's gonna remember the story, but not remember me. But anyway, I was pissed drunk, and then we was at this house party, and I'm like, pissed off, and I'm like, I'm leaving. I'm going back to Charleston, whatever the fuck. And because we had just came from this nightclub, and I get stopped by Jared Cook. And if any of y'all know who Jared Cook is, Jared Cook is now a tight end in the NFL, but he played for South Carolina. And I get stopped by Jared Cook, and he was like, "Yo, man." And he gives me this pep talk. And he's like, "Hey, man, you're drunk. You're upset. I understand. You're mad at your girl, blah, 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 man. We're just going to have a fucking good time. Don't worry about it. You can come over here and party with us." Because it was a house party, but then across the street was another house party. So he took me to his house party that they was having, this house party. And I chilled over there for a little bit, and I calmed down. And then he got me a couple of drinks. And then I'm chilling with him and some other people. But then he's like, "You good, man? You ain't gonna drive back to Charleston drunk?" And I said, "Nah, man, I'm good. I'm just gonna go back over there." So I walked back over, and then me and old girl reconciled. But like, I almost hopped into a car, pissed drunk and mad, and would have drove an hour and a half up the road if it wasn't for fucking Jared Cook. And right when I got in the car, you know what song was playing when we got in the car?
What's that?
Fucking Because of You.
This nigga.
I cannot be making that shit up.
That's funny. So, my Because of You story actually is almost a painful story, but it's like yours, too strange to be fiction. So, remember, when that album came out is when me and my ex-wife separated, right? Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, there's children in the mix. I haven't spoke to her since we got into like a major altercation that had me end up in jail. So I remember, you know, the CD came out that day. I'm a manager at a shoe store, by the way, a Foot Locker. And, you know, before I opened, I always went to FYE because FYE opened super early and they let you buy music. So I either went to FYE or Target, one of the two. So I remember, like, the phone rings, and it's her. And out of nowhere, the song Do You plays. And I'm like, wow, this isn't fitting like a music video. So yeah. Her and I, we spoke for the first time in about 5 months. And it was just one of those situations where the words sort of played out what you're feeling. And that's why I always love this album. Because, like you said, every aspect of a relationship or a romance that you could think you can experience happens on this album.
It does. Like I said, that is one of my favorite R&B albums for that reason. Like I said, it always will kind of solidify like that one relationship. But I listen to that album in Neo a lot. So there's a lot of other situations with, good situations. Situation with other females that always resonates because of that album, because I keep it on heavy rotation. Right. But like literally, like
that relatability factor,
yeah, it always resonated with that. Even sex with my ex, because like that girl ended up being my ex, and then like at some point after we broke up, I had sex with my ex. So fuck it.
It happened. It happened. So what's the next album you got for me?
So the next album I have for you is another one of my favorites that, ironically enough, ties to an ex as well. Fly or Die.
N-E-R-D. Fly or Die. Okay. So my favorite Fly or Die story is, I call this story the fever dream, because every time I talk about this song, it was just like a fever dream. Now, everybody who knows me knows I'm a big Pharrell fan. Everybody who knows me knows when I do produce, I very much mimic Pharrell's style. So when this album came out, it was a no-brainer to go out and get. So I remember listening to this album day in, day out. You know, like, nothing. Like, that was my CD. So I remember one night falling asleep to the album, right? And all of a sudden, in my dream, this is what I call a fever dream, because, you know, your fever dreams are very vivid, right?
Yeah.
So in my fever dream, I'm hearing this dope-ass song, right? And you know, the chorus is, I'm searching for a way back. I'm like, yo, this song, in my dream, I'm like, yo, this song hits, right? So, mind you, I fell asleep during a CD. And I'm like, wake up, and I'm like, damn, that was a good song. I wish I could tell everybody about the song of my dream, but I kept on, you know, thinking about it. Like, the next day, I kept on thinking about it. So, my nightly routine goes the same. You know, I put music on, I wash dishes, I clean up around the house, but my daughter was acting very fidgety this night, right? So after Chariot of Fire goes off, which is the last song on the album, after Chariot of Fire goes off, you know, I'm trying to get her settled, whatever or not, before I switch CDs. Yeah, this is back in the days where you had to switch CDs.
Yeah, yeah.
So right when I get her settled and everything and I'm walking into the living room, I literally have my hand on, I remember this, Prince, the Hits and the B-Sides album, because I was about to listen to that next, and out of nowhere, the song Find a Way starts. The song I heard in my fever dream. It was a bonus track on that album.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting down like, oh my God, this is the song that was in my dream. But that's what happens when you fall asleep to music. You sometimes hear what you're listening to on the outside world in your dream. So that's my favorite story about this album. And Pharrell, I know you never listened to the show, but you have a very bad habit with some of my favorite songs on your album. You have to listen to another song to get to that song.
Yes, that is true.
That's one. I Really Like Your Girl is another. The song and Freak.
What, JoJo, right?
Yeah, the song Freak is Shout another. JoJo. Like, Pharrell, you have a very bad habit with my favorite songs on each of your albums being attached to another song. Please fix that.
Yeah. Shout out to JoJo. I don't really fuck with her music because I don't really listen to it, but you know, that's my boo. Sorry. My story about this album is, so I have particular albums that I like if I go on like date nights, like date night albums. And the reason why I do this is because, you know, I know we're big on music, but I like to have like more neutral style music, if that makes sense. Because like, other than that, I'm going to be listening to Jay-Z the whole time, and you may not like Jay-Z, or I'm going to listen to some shit that you may consider too vulgar for a date night. So this was one of my date night albums, like that I used to like listen to whenever I went on like dates and shit. And I just remember that this album ties to like this chick I used to talk to, because I remember when we went on a date, this was one of the albums that I played. And we actually both really, really loved the song She Wants to Move and mm-hmm. Find a Way was the other song that we listened to and that we both really liked. And I just remember, like standing at her store one time. I'm standing at her store one time, and then I want to say that, like, that song was like playing, like She Wants to Move or something, like was playing in the background or something, if, from what I remember. And I think it was like on like one of the store radios or some bullshit. Yeah, because that was the song that the single from the album. But I just remember, like, I was like, oh, this is the song from, you know, when we went out to eat or some shit. That's my only thing I remember from that album.
So, oh God, I was about to say something else about the Fly or Die album, but fuck it. Next up, I got for you 400 Degrees by Juvenile.
Oh man, I don't know if I told the story on the show, but I got an interesting story. So I remember 400 Degrees. 400 Degrees was everywhere when it came out. Obviously, Back That Ass Up was the big hit. But I remember one day I ended up, I went to work, and then after work, I ended up with one of our coworkers, and he was like, "Yo, we're going to the fair," you know. And I was like, "Well, fuck it, I ain't got nothing to do. Yeah, I'll ride with y'all." And it was like me and like six niggas, like just in this big old fucking, what we used to call the puff bus. Shout out to TJ. they called the puff bus because everybody used to smoke in the bus. in the van. But we all rode out to the fair. And I remember at some point through the night, they were all high or whatever the fuck. And I ended up losing them. But on the way to the fair, I remember Juvenile was one of the CDs that we was listening to. And I, cause I remember hearing the song Rich Niggas, and there was, another CD. But Juvenile, I remember listening to the song Rich Niggas on the way there. Cause we had, they had Juvenile tape or CD, whatever the fuck it was. But then when we get there at one of the Ferris wheel rides, was the intro track was playing at one of the Ferris wheel rides. Like when you dun, were waiting dun, in line to, yeah. Dun, dun.
That's my dun, shit.
Dun, 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 dun. Like, and like you were waiting in line to get into the Ferris wheel or whatever, or one of the little rides. That was the song that was playing like at that ride. And I was like, oh, that's pretty dope. Whatever. But what resonates with me with that night was I ended up getting lost from the guys I rode with. And then I was like, man, I got to find a way home. And I ran into one of my homeboys, Terrell, and my other homeboy, Bobby. And they were walking rather fast. And they were sweating. And then I was like, hey, what's up, y'all? You think I can catch a ride back to Sangaree? And I was like, yeah, just come on. And I was like, all right. And they were walking really fast and like dodging people in the crowd. And I was like, yo, slow down real quick. You're walking so fast. What the fuck's going on? So we get to the little exit. And I just remember Bobby dapping up Terrell. I was like, hey, yo, man. All right, man, get home safe. Man, get out of here, man. Hey, yo, let me know if something goes down, man. Just scream for me, B. And I was like, all right, that was kind of weird. Like, so I turned to Bobby and I was like, yo, Bobby, man, y'all good? What's going on, man? I wanted to go grab a fucking elephant ear before we dipped out. He said, yeah, man, we got into it with these Sheep Island niggas. And I was like, well, fuck it, man. If y'all about to fight, man, I got your back, man. You know, we all from the reef. And I just remember looking up. And I saw a gang of like 20, 30 niggas like heading our way. And I was like, hold up. I said, yo, is that them? And then Bobby was like, yeah, man, yeah. So he said, hightail him to the car. And I was like, oh shit, I can't fight 30 niggas. So I just remember we were in the parking lot, ducking, diving, dodging, like hiding behind cars to get to his car. Because apparently this Sangaree versus Sheep Island fight broke out, whatever the fuck. And I was like, man, I'm about to get my ass kicked for just trying to get a ride home. I might as well just fucking stay here and have to, like, you know what I mean, like hitchhike or some shit. This ride home ain't worth no ass whooping that I didn't deserve. So I just remember ducking and diving through cars. And the shitty thing was, I didn't know what his car looked like. So I'm like, I had no idea where the fuck to go. And I'm getting all dirty, like crawling on my knees by these cars, dodging these niggas, like trying to hide from them. And we finally get to his car, and then luckily I see him. And then we finally get to his car. We get in the car, and then we slide the seats down, and we're laying back. And I'm like, okay. And I don't see these Sheep Island motherfuckers. And then, but then we just we sat there for about 2 minutes or so, and then we took cranked the car and dipped out. And then I was like, man, we good now. And then we ran into traffic. And I'm just like, oh shit, like these motherfuckers are gonna start walking car to car and start looking to see who's inside this motherfucker. And then they're definitely gonna drag us out and fuck us up. But like luckily, like even though they were pretty close to where our car was, like them niggas said they didn't pursue any further. So yeah, I just remember. Oh, and then I remember that night when I came home that night after going through all this bullshit and this rigmarole, I get home, I'm ready to go to sleep. I walk in the house and I see Digger and First. Oh, because we had bunk beds at the time. They're on my bunk. On my bed with some random white girl, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
No, do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, they're having an orgy. And I walked out the room.
But nobody's clothes were off or anything, so I don't want y'all.
I was just fucked up, man. Like that whole car ride was just wild.
Word. So I'll make my 400 degree story very brief. So me, Red, and First used to work at a place called Fazoli's, right?
Oh yeah.
And I remember it was myself, BJ Creech, Big Al, and oh God, what was that Puerto Rican girl's name? Desiree. We were all hanging out in Big Al's SUV, right? And I remember Creech was just like, yo, put on that number 17. And it was Juvenile on Fire. And he just kept playing that on repeat. To the point where I was just like, yo, man, I got to go home and get this out of my head. So I got to go home and listen to this and so on and so on. So anytime that I make a mix CD or anything and I have like songs from the South, Juvenile on Fire goes on first.
I also remember riding home one day and hearing the Jay-Z Ha remix for the first time off that album.
Which was not one of my favorite remixes, believe it or not.
It wasn't, but in my mind, I was thinking, yeah, man, like, who the fuck? I said, why is Jay-Z rapping with this nigga? That was my first initial thought, but I didn't realize how big Cash Money was at the time. And gotcha. I was like, man, why? I was like, how the fuck did they get Jay-Z? That was my initial thought.
No, that was actually a great business move by Juvenile, so.
Yeah.
So, what you got for me now?
Man. I'll do this one because the next one's going to be
I got two. I got two more. You got two more.
I'll do the Last Don.
MP the Last Don. So I'll tell my first story about this, okay? So I got to give you a little backstory. So my first week ever working, you know, was great. I'm having a good week, whatever, whatnot. Everything's, you know, fire, right? I remember my father walking in on the, you know, the last day of the week because I work Monday through Friday. My dad came in on that Friday. My dad looks at me, doesn't say a word, right? And points at my boss. And I goes, that's my boss. And he goes, and he waves the boss over to him. My boss pulls him to the side, whatever, whatnot, right? So my boss walks up to me and goes, hey, just go ahead and go home and everything, and you know, everything's gonna be okay, okay? So I'm like, okay. So I get back in the vehicle. My dad doesn't say a word, and I'm looking in the back seat. No, Red was in the front seat, and I was in the back seat, and I'm looking at Red, and Red's looking at me, like we don't know what the fuck's going on. So my dad takes us to the barbershop, right, and says, "Go get y'all's haircut." It's a Friday night, mind you, right? So he orders pizza and everything. We don't see mom or anything, right? So my dad looks at us and goes, we're waking up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. We're like, okay. So we still don't know what's going on. So later on that evening, my dad said, oh, by the way, your grandfather died. We're like, what? Like, nigga, this is something you could have told me when we got in the car. I thought you sat there and quit my job for me. I was about to be mad at you all weekend. So, but when we get to Texas, it was the week that The Last Don came out. So one of our cousins had the cassette tape. And he was playing it. And the song I remember vividly was Hot Boys and Girls, right? Because I wanted to hear Make Him Say On first. You know, Make Him Say On Part 2 first, which I was very underwhelmed by Snoop Dogg's verse. But anyways. And I remember Hot Boys and Girls kept playing. And this was the night before we left. I made it a mission to steal my cousin's album. But here's the funny thing about it. Karma plays no games, right? So when I took the album, when I came home and tried to pop it in the tape deck, it was broke. Like, the tape was split. So I'm like, fuck. So my dad took me to Waffle House, and long story short, my boss was just like, I got to pay you 2 weeks. I got to pay you for 2 weeks because, you know, here's your check for, you know, this week, and here's your, you know, bereavement check because you get paid for, you know, a death in the family. So I remember buying Life After Death and The Last Dawn. Shout out to Robert Pratt because he's the one that took me there. And like the whole time on the way back home, we were listening to The Last Dawn, and that's my Last Dawn story. And that basically fed into my No Limit addiction, because remember, No Limit, when you opened the CD book or tape, you know, deck, what did you see? What was coming out the following week? Cool. Yeah. So when you bought that album, what did you see? What was coming out the following week? So that began my No Limit addiction.
I'm just going to simply say with The Last Dawn, I don't really have a story. I'm just going to say that The Last Dawn is probably, that album is probably part of 80 to 90% of our stories that growing up.
That's true.
Yeah, like the we listened to that shit so much because it was a dope album. It was also two discs. So there's probably a story for each song.
Each song on each disc.
Yeah, so like I want to say that album was definitely probably like 80% of the memories and the stories that we can tell from a certain time period that album was involved.
Gotcha. So my second to last album for you is TRU's True to the Game.
Ooh, True to the Game. I have the perfect story for that. For True to the Game, I remember. This was my first experience with No Limit, personally. I was in eighth grade, and I don't know. I remember exactly where I was, and the teacher's name was Miss Eden. Like, for some reason, like, I walked out of her class. Like, she either wanted me to go to another teacher's class or whatever, but for some reason, when I walked out of her class, I went through the out. If anybody knows how the school was set up, there was a door that leads you to the outside of the school, and then there's two classroom doors, and one that leads you into the hallway, right? So, so just imagine it's just one room with two ways to get in, two ways to get out. For some reason, when she told me to go to a different class to give something to a teacher, I went through the outside door. And right when I opened that door, I looked on the ground. There was a tape on the ground, and it was TRU. It was one of the two TRU tapes.
No Limit had a very bad habit of doing something. If it was a double disc, it was one tape. There was only one double disc that No Limit had that had two tapes, and that was Down South Hustlers.
Okay, so then it was just the one tape, but it was TRU. And I found it, and I was like, all right. And I just picked it up in my pocket. I remember going home and playing it, and it was on the C Murder track that
True Questions. I never forget it. It's True Questions.
Yes. Waiting for the witness to leave. Yeah, the one of the that was written in NWA.
That was
right?
The original NWA song. No, Eazy-E. Eazy-E on the solo album.
Yes. So it was that song, and I was like, and I remember I kept playing that song on repeat. And obviously, back in the day when you had tapes, repeat would be, oh man, this is dope. You listen to the song, then you rewind, play, rewind, play, rewind, play. And then I was just like, who the fuck is this? Like, because that was the only song I listened to. I remember rewinding all the way to the back, to the beginning. And what was the radio hit from that?
No Limit Soldiers, I Always Feel Like.
That song, No Limit Soldiers played. And I was like, I know this. You know what I mean?
If you listen to WPAL, they played No Limit's discography.
Yeah. I just remember, I remember hearing that. And then I also remember hearing the I Got Candy song. And then later on in life, when I actually had the actual CD and Digga actually had the CD and I realized who the fuck they were, I just remember Swamp Nigga being my fucking favorite, my favorite song of all fucking time.
Which leads to my story. Which leads to my story. So
go ahead.
I remember one Sunday I got off of work, and for those who knew me in high school, I worked at Waffle House 3 days, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Now, the shift I worked on Friday was 10 to 2, right? I mean, 10 to 7, 10 at night, 7 in the morning. So the shift that I worked at Saturdays was 10 to 7, and then I would end up working from 7 to 2 because, you know, I'm collecting all that money, right? So this one Sunday evening, my mom gave Red the key and just said, look, you want to go to the mall? I'm not taking you. You go. Because Red. And it was his first time going on the interstate. And I remember the only thing that really kept me at ease, because remember, I've never rode on the interstate before, was the song Swamp Nigga. And like when it gets to the part where this beat switches to the I'm about to beat, listen, yeah. the way Red was quaking in the car, like confidently driving, I was okay.
I will say, I do remember that song almost got me into a wreck because I was trying to be cool.
Still, we made it.
Yeah, I was trying to be fucking cool, and I was trying to fast forward to that part of the song, on purpose, because that part used to quake, and like that shit used to hit with the bass, especially when it's like south, jeez, and then the bass would kick in. I remember I was trying to be cool, and there was this chick. And like I try to speed up with the windows down to have that part play where she was. Now mind you, I think this chick was either like a coworker or like some chick that I just saw out and about that I knew of but didn't know, right? But I just remember I try to speed up to her at the light, so I could play that part and the bass could not, so she could look over, and you know my dumbass wasn't paying attention, and I sped the speed up, and there was a fucking car in front of me, and I damn near ran into that motherfucker. If I did not swerve the fuck off, when I say I had to swerve off, I had to swerve off into a turning lane and actually turn. In order for me to keep the momentum of the car going and not hit some fucking body.
Lord Jesus.
My dumb ass.
So, that was my last... No, I have one more album for you. You have one last album for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And this one I know, I know about 3 or 4 different stories off of this album that we can tell. Justified by Justin Timberlake.
Okay, so... I don't want to steal your thunder if you're going to tell this story, but I got this.
No. I got a couple of them.
So, at first, I'm not going to sit there and lie. I really hated on this album. I was a pop star going to do an R&B album. So I really hated on it, like hard, to the point where when it came out, I didn't buy it. My sister was a fan. Everybody I knew was a fan. I'm like, I'm not listening to this shit, right? So... One night I went to a party at Columbia College, which is a college here that was an all-girls school, right? So, yo, we're going to Columbia party at an all-girl college. I'm like, all right, fine, fuck it. Because, you know, I'm in the process of my separation from my ex-wife, and I'm like, let's go have a good time, right? So, we get to the party, and the song Take It From Here is playing, right? Mind you, I don't know who this is, right? So I was like, yo, this song's pretty dope. Who is it? Somebody said, Justin Timberlake. And I wanted to hate it, but I couldn't. So a few weeks later, me, Red, and Adam were downtown playing basketball, right? So we're walking, you know, downtown, and it starts to, you know, like drizzle. I had an umbrella, and Red had an umbrella. So it starts to drizzle, and I see these girls walking, like, to the College of Charleston, you know, trying to get there and everything. So I open up the umbrella and I swing on a tree like I'm in Singing in the Rain. And I'm like, give me one reason why we should not be leaving. And Red's like, yo, what is that? I said, yo, I'll play it in the car. This shit hits. Because in a way, I was sort of embarrassed to play Justin Timberlake around these guys. But listen, once that CD started playing, shit. So that's my story. Serenading Girls in the Rain.
You know what? I got a couple of stories. Well, first and foremost, this is another one of those albums that will always be solidified with one of my exes. One of the stories that I remember, I don't remember if it was, I think I'm almost positive it was this album, but I remember you and Daryl when we used to work at Best Buy. Y'all had a stack of these CDs at the register. The
yeah.
And y'all, and like, I'm going to say that this album probably went platinum because of y'all. Because, like, y'all just kept grabbing stacks and stacks of these CDs and just selling them to people. It's like, hey, you know what? This is just Tim. Like, he used to be in NSYNC. It's a great album. You need to check it out. And then people were just buying them. Like, we're just buying the album.
Do you remember what me and Daryl would say when people didn't buy the album?
What?
When people was like, no thanks. We were like, don't be so quick to walk away.
But y'all sold, I remember y'all sold so many of these CDs, just bullshitting people, and having them at the front register. So I remember that.
Here's me and Daryl commission check.
Yeah. So the other thing is, like I said, this always will resonate with, like, this album always resonate with, like, one of my exes. And, like, the thing I remember is, actually, after, I don't know if it was, like, the week after we went downtown, you were swinging on the poles, Paul, singing to the chicks. We actually went downtown with her, and it was me, you, her, and Adam. And this was the album that we played on the way downtown. And we just kept walking up to people singing like clips from the album. The same way that y'all did.
But I remember I could not wait for y'all to hear that song. Like, have you ever, I wouldn't say been friends with somebody, or just, have you ever just didn't want nobody to judge you because of what was in your collection?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I felt with Nirvana for a long time, so on and so on. That's how I felt with this album. I was just like, yo, nobody can know I'm listening to damn Justin Timberlake until I got my opportunity to show it.
And this was another one of those date night albums for me. Like I said, something neutral, something that's like, you know, everybody, you know, it's R&B. But it's also Justin Timberlake, who's a pop star, and so they're gonna love it for that too. So it was another. Yeah.
So, are you ready for the last album?
Yeah.
Thug Motivation 101 by Jeezy. Hold on. You're breaking up one more time.
No, I just think of the night that I messed with that chick on Montana, from Montana, because I literally dug through the CD book to find this one album, to find this particular album, and I had to get to the song of "I'm a tear that to you." You remember that song?
Yeah, the song that's right after Trap or Die.
Yeah, with
the one with Lloyd. Yeah.
I purposely dug through the CD album to look for this album just because of that fucking song. But I just remember. I remember when this album first came out, because I knew Jeezy from Boys in the Hood. I just remember, what's the kid's name? He used to work at Best Buy. Do you remember Jamal, I think his name is?
Yes.
Jamal Fikes? Yes.
Yes.
So I just remember he had this album, and he played it in the car audio section back there, and I was just like, and he was trying to sell me on this album. He was like, "Yo, this is about to be the next big thing," and I was listening. I was like, "Yeah, I'm not really feeling it. You know what I mean? I'm not feeling this shit at all. Whatever." And then I just remember he was so upset that he went to go get Rob and two other people to try to have an intervention with me about how good this fucking album was. So I remember us all standing there in car audio going track by track. And I was like, yeah, this shit knocks, but I guess I gotta, you know, like, and me not being sold. And then I just remember a week or so later, I went and got the album. And then I just let it play through a couple of times. And I was like, this is probably one of the best Southern hip hop albums, like, out there.
So, my Jeezy story is I used to work at a place called Underground Station that sold urban, you know, clothes and urban shoes, right? And I remember buying this, the one with the bonus edition DVD, right?
Yeah.
I remember buying the CD. And my coworker, who was also my boss, Monty, stole the CD, lied about it, and then gave me $20.
You know what I do remember about when the CD came out? Didn't he do a autograph signing at either Underground Station or at the mall?
It wasn't at Underground Station. It was at the mall. But that's why he stole my CD. So he can get it signed.
Yes. I remember it because this was around the same time that I had the fucking argument with Jamal. The same time I had the argument because I remember he was talking about him being at the mall and doing signing autographs and stuff because he had a concert at that one ratchet club. Yeah. I can't remember the name of the club. But it used to be, I remember the name of the club back in the day. It used to be the Diplomat, but then they changed it to something else. And he had a concert there, and I was like, I was like, man, I'm not sold on this guy. Whatever the fuck, I don't care. And then, like, after listening to the album a couple times, and I'm just like, all right, this dude's the truth. And another thing that solidified it for me, sorry to interrupt, but I remember I went to a strip club one time, and one of the songs played at the strip club. It was either Bottom of the Map or Standing Ovation. I can't remember which one. I'm almost positive it was Bottom of the Map. It's Young Jizzle from the bottom. I just remember sitting in the strip club, and then it was Bottom of the Map. Can you hear that? Dun, 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 like that build up. And then all of a sudden, I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's some lit shit right there.
I actually have a story that involves Jeezy. So the story that involves Jeezy is the same mall signing, right? Now, Jeezy, for one, is a very humble person. For two, Jeezy is very short. Very short. Like, he has to be about 5'8"-ish, or I don't know if he's very short, I'm just very tall. But I remember it was him and Slick Puller. And, you know, when they were doing the signing and everything, right? One nigga was just like, hey, nigga, where your bodyguards at? He goes, I don't need it when I'm carrying this fofo. I'm like,
no, but that's all the bold of y'all in public.
No, but I was just like, oh. No, I was like, all right. But, you know, he was just like, you know, and the thing, all right, so I just Googled his height. He's 5'9". I'm just very tall. But he's short. Yeah. But I was just like, you know, I remember he was just like, you know, what's good? You want to get a picture? Picture's $5. I said, cool. I'll get a picture done. So he stood up and he looked at me. He goes, nah, you're going to have to sit the fuck down. So that picture is probably still in the back of Underground Station to this day. And he's the reason why I started buying tennis chains, because the shine on his shit was, listen.
Yeah. Shout out to Jeezy. for two just two quick stories. They're not actually even stories. Shout out, because I remember seeing him. I went to an Atlanta Hawks game, and we walked out the way where the hotel is that used to be attached to the stadium. I think it still is, but we walked out the hotel exit, and that's where all the like the rappers and the famous people park their cars and get their valet. And we saw Jeezy in the green Lambo with Shardy Red. And I just remember, hey, yo, Jeezy! And then him and Shardy Red though threw me the deuces. And I think I went to this game with I went to this game with this chick that I didn't really talk to, but like we used to call her Ashley. Anyways, and I remember before the game, and I got a picture of it. I still got my pictures from this basketball game. Was the advertisement for the new, like for his second album, Doug Motivation 102. It was the advertisement for that. And then the last thing is, like, this is how you can tell Jeezy was true. Jeezy was so true that my ex named our pet cat after young Jeezy.
That's correct.
We had a cat named Jeezy.
That's correct. Little fat fucker too.
Yeah, little fat Garfield looking motherfucker.
Word.
That motherfucker's name was Jeezy. So you get, if you get a white girl named that cat Jeezy, I mean.
But word. So that concludes Memory Lane. Everybody wanted the storytelling show with Red, and I just wanted to go back to a music roots, so why not a better show than this?
Yeah, and then once again, if y'all want to hear, like if y'all got ideas for the show, and like, I love telling stories, we can do more storytelling shows, or different formats, different things, or whatever. You know, just let Digga know, and we'll set something up.
So, yeah, closing statements. You know what?
Nah,
Go ahead. No, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do the closing statement first.
All right.
I never do that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Digga Jones. That's Red. And we are the Troublemakers. And thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for giving the idea of having Red do a storytelling show. I just did my own twist on it, because sometimes you just want to go back to your roots and go back to where you came from. And we started the show doing music. So I figure, why not a great invitation to go back like this? If you know anybody going through a hard time, it only takes 3 seconds to ask or text them, are you good? Those 3 seconds can go a long way. The albums that we did mention, please listen to. They're all certified classics to us.
Yeah.
Other than that, Red closes out.
Definitely enjoyed the show. Two of my favorite things in life. I mean, amongst other things that I love in life, but two of my favorite things that in life are music and nostalgia. You know what I mean? I love like old memories and just things that make me nostalgic, and I love music. So this is a double good show for me, just because I love those two things. Y'all, thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for the feedback. Thank y'all for the ideas. Keep them coming. We want to make sure that we can put out some content that y'all enjoy. Y'all keep making sure y'all looking out for one another, because, you know, like I said, and like I say every show, you know, there's still a lot of crazy and fucked up things going on out there. So y'all just make sure y'all look out for one another. Other than that, Digga, thank you. I do encourage y'all to listen to these albums. All great music, all great albums. I think one thing, Digga, that we should do is we should come up with like a list of like date night albums, like the top 10 date night albums or some shit. Because I think I mentioned three.
No, that's great. That's a great idea. So if y'all want to hear that show, just hit me up in the comments. Other than that, God bless and good night.
Good night. Thanks. Thanks again, y'all.
No problem.